Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E. Documents, plural.com.
I found this company online and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
CAA. Hey, Americans, listen up. Every 30 seconds, a new illegal alien arrives, so you've got to call the President and Congress to stop this new comprehensive immigration reform bill. It allows an unlimited number of new immigrants, plus the 20 million already here, more rights and privileges than we have, like no prosecution for identity theft or fraud, but citizens will be prosecuted for the same crimes. Welfare and Social Security benefits, credit for time worked in Mexico, flimsy documentation for citizenship, plus they get to bring the whole family here, free in state college tuition, and get this, no border barriers built without consulting Mexico. Right. That's just some of what they're planning. If they pass this, get ready for the biggest invasion, the biggest tax increase, the biggest mistake our country has ever made. So call Congress toll-free at 866-340-9281 before it's too late. Tell them no amnesty and to act like Americans. Call us to toll-free 877-NO-ILLEGALS or go to saynotoillegals.org. That's saynotoillegals.org.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
And now, a heavyweight in the fight against illegal immigration and defender of the First and Second Amendment rights, straight from the ghetto, the prisoner of South Central, Terry Anderson.
What's with this Terry Anderson guy?
He's articulating the popular rage.
Stupid people of America, good evening. If you ain't mad, you ain't paying attention. Webster's Integrated Dictionary, Civil Rights. Those rights guaranteed to the individual, especially by the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 19th Amendments to the United States Constitution. Folks, the Constitution was written so that American people could be equal to one another and live a life free of oppression. It is a magnificent document, and you only have to read the thoughtfulness in this document to realize just how hard it must have been to draft at the time and to make it where all of these people would sign it. It is an important thing to remember that, folks. You had to get all these people in the room and get them to sign this document. Now, this country was started with a deficit, and the Constitution was started with the deficit. At that time, some of the residents of this country owned some of the residents of this country. That's right. Now, being the country that it is, it got past that deficit. To an extent, it eliminated slavery and has been working ever since to right the wrongs of the early days. Now, what I'm saying here, folks, is that there was slavery when this country started, and they said all men were created equal. But guess what? All men weren't, not recognized as, shall we say. But as a country that wants to do the right thing, this country decided we must right that wrong, and they did begin to right that wrong as years passed. We must give them credit for that. Now, the Civil Rights era helped in that effort to right those wrongs, and for black folks in this country, those efforts are a work in progress, a hard work in progress, but nonetheless a work in progress. Now, I am attempting right now, folks, to explain to this vast audience that we have why black folks are so incensed when illegal aliens who voluntarily and illegally came to this country for whatever reason, while demanding amnesty, claim to be fighting for their, quote, civil rights, unquote. That is what I am attempting to understand and to explain now. Now, we, us black folks, have had a tough time in this country. I remember segregation, and I have heard the horror stories firsthand from my ancestors. I've heard of the Jim Crow and the racial prejudice and the hatred, especially in the South, and even here in California also. I have heard the stories of slavery passed down in my family from my great-grandfather, who was the last of the slaves in our family. They endured less and less as time passed in this country, as America tried to right its wrong. Now, I am not saying that it is what it should be today. I am saying that America has worked on it a little bit at a time to try to get it to where it is equitable. And you must applaud America for that. Nonetheless, though, these things did happen, folks. Now, explain to me, considering these things that happened to black folks, and let me illuminate something here for you. I am not an Afro-American. I am not an African-American. I wear no hyphen. I am an American citizen. I am a native-born, indigenous American citizen who happens to be black. That's who I am. And I don't want any hyphens. I don't want to be called an African-American. I have no desire to even visit Africa. Though some do, that's fine. But not me. I am an American citizen, and I love this country. Now, having said all of this, explain to me how 30 million illegal aliens can demand civil rights when they have endured nothing in this country as black folks have. They have endured nothing here, nothing, and they want civil rights. They sneak into this country. They lie, they steal, and they cheat to stay in this country. Even the, quote, nicest, unquote, of the illegal aliens are using false documents to work and drive and to exist. That is against the law. That is theft. That is the grift, folks. That is illegal to do. They have stolen the identities of Americans with no remorse. At great expense of the American people, they have put their illegal alien children in our schools. They fill our emergency rooms and our hospitals, and they never pay for anything. And again, they do it with no remorse. They take jobs from American citizens. They underbid and undercut our wages. And yet again, they do so with zero remorse. They don't care what they do. They don't care what damage they cause. It matters not. They want what they want, and they're going to get it. They move into American communities and break every occupancy law, limit law and every zoning law that there is without ever giving it a thought. And after they do all of this, after they bring their chickens into the neighborhoods and they bring in the goats and the ducks and the geese and the rabbits, and after they come in there and they hang their laundry on the fence and they bring their corn in the front yards and have their loud parties every weekend, after they've done all of this, they call us racists, they call us nativists, and they call us xenophobes if we complain about these inequities. If they break the law and we complain, we are racist because we complain. Had they demanded those same civil rights that they demand in the streets of America, in their native country of origin, and fought for them as we black folks did in our country of origin, maybe, just maybe, they wouldn't have left their native country in the first place. That is the place to fight for civil rights. Not here. Not if you come illegally. If you are here legally, with our blessing as American people, you have the right. You have the right to fight for rights of the civil variety, but not if you sneak in. I have zero sympathy or compassion for someone who lies and steals and cheats and then tells me that I owe them something. America owes illegal aliens nothing. And if, and I'm speaking of this Senate bill, if the American people get their say on this rotten bill, that's exactly what the illegal aliens will get. Nothing. And that's what they deserve. This is the Terry Anderson Show on the All-American Radio Network.
I'm Steve Rimmage, president of the Association for Los Angeles Deputy Sheriffs. Today's message is about political favoritism and why any kind of favoritism compromises the integrity of our criminal justice system. Sheriff Lee Baca's ridiculously early release and subsequent reincarceration of his celebrity inmate was unnecessary and irresponsible. His list of excuses for the early release, as poorly expressed by his spokesman, only served to cause further deterioration in the public's confidence that Los Angeles County's criminal justice system works effectively and equally for all. We've heard the sheriff saying it was his decision. Of the many excuses we've heard for the early release, none would justify compromising the integrity of our criminal justice system. If this had been an isolated instance, we could easily get past it. But this incident comes on the heels of news reports of the sheriff directing $650,000 of contract fees away from inmate services to wine and dine his executives. On behalf of 8,000 hardworking deputy sheriffs and district attorney investigators, we demand that the sheriff put a stop to any political favoritism. To continue his current practice of special treatment for some translates to unfair treatment for everyone. I'm Steve Rimmage. Thanks for listening, and please drive carefully.
This is the Terry Anderson Show, and we're talking about the illegal alien invasion of the United States of America. And I want to remind everybody out there that has friends or relatives who cannot hear the sound of our voice, they can hear us live by going to our website. That's theterryandersonshow.com. Let me welcome all the good folks listening tonight at KFNX 1100 AM Phoenix, Arizona, the great K-Dawn, KDWN 720 AM Las Vegas, Nevada, and all the folks on the RBN Network. Welcome to the Terry Anderson Show. Let me give out that call number now. Those who want to call, agree, disagree, that number is 1-866-870-5752. That's 1-866-870-5752.
And now it's time for the most horriblest clown of the week.
Yes, it is time for the most horriblest clown of the week. Folks, every once in a while we get to see justice played out before our very eyes. And one of the co-signers of this rotten Senate immigration amnesty, John McCain, is beginning to get his comeuppance. Support for John McCain in two key early voting states has plummeted. He's tied for fifth in Iowa with 6% and just fell to fourth in South Carolina with 7%. And I love it. All of this is due to his arrogance as he ignores the wishes of the American people. Now, the Gallup poll last week said that 3% of Americans thought the Senate was doing the right thing with the illegal immigration issue. McCain knows what we want, and still he ignores the American people, and now he is paying the price. Ain't it beautiful? Guy named Larry Sapato, director of the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia, said it perfectly. He said, quote, McCain's campaign has sunk like a rock. Has sunk like a rock. Fundamentally, Republicans do not trust him, and they don't like him either, end quote. And that is true. People are starting to turn on this man because he has ignored us on this issue. It's plain and simple. Now, how McCain thought he could thumb his nose at the American people and maintain his top-tier standing among candidates is beyond me. At a fundraiser on Long Island last week, John McCain said, quote, he was guardedly optimistic, unquote, about the Senate amnesty bill. Then he went on to say, quote, there will be some tough votes. I think we have the votes, though, end quote. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And when asked why he was for this, he said, quote, if we do nothing, we have broken borders. We have 12 million people with de facto amnesty, end quote. We have a de facto amnesty, Mr. McCain, because you have been in the Senate since Hector was a pup and have done nothing. Where was your bill? Where was your bill 10 years ago to fix this problem? Where was your bill before that to lock up those borders down there and deport these people from our country? Not a word from him. McCain sucks, and the American people know it. And let me tell you something else. He's dropped in the polls, and he's going to go lower because he has ignored the American people's wishes. He deserves what he gets. But more than that, he is the most horriblest clown of the week. Folks, we're going to get right to our guests right now. We are very privileged to have a guy on that I think the world of, Mr. Ron Paul. The Honorable Ron Paul, Councilman. Boy, am I underrating this guy. United States Congressman. Ron, how you doing this evening?
Doing fine. Nice to be on your show.
It is my absolute pleasure. I want to tell you what the board says right now. We've got callers waiting on here from Austin, Texas, Torrance, California, Peoria, Illinois, Tampa, Florida, Los Angeles, and Cookeville, Tennessee. Those are the people we get every week who want to, not those people, but people representative of the entire country, Congressman, who want to talk about this issue because Americans are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to ask you a few tough questions tonight. And I know you're not going to duck them because you're not that kind of guy. And we ask these questions of everybody all the time. The first one I want to ask is this. We always hear them talk in the Congress of the United States about even the people who are on our side, like Newt Gingrich and others, who will say, well, we have to have border enforcement first. Well, when you tell me we have to have something first, that tells me that you are willing to have something else second and third. Where do you see these people who are illegally in our country in the next 5 years?
Well, the problem is going to be compounded because, unfortunately, I think they're going to get amnesty, which is tragic to all of us and to the country and financially. So I see that happening, and the financial burden is going to be unbelievable. You know, the Heritage Foundation has made some studies and explain how many, every time you give amnesty, it means two or three or four more may well come as the families come in. If you look at 10, 20 years out, you're talking about literally trillions of dollars
trillions
of future obligations.
Yes.
So our country's in bad shape now. You know, financially, we can't afford the entitlement system. We can't afford the war that's going on. We're in a huge deficit. And yet, we're going to compound this, let alone in addition to all the social problems that are coming. My approach has been quite different. Of course, I want the borders secure, and I want to bring troops home. I want to save money. I want to emphasize this. But I think I'm one of the few that has really emphasized stopping the necessity or the laws and the state or the federal mandates on all the states to provide the benefits for the illegals. Right now, it's illegal. You know, hospitals are closing down in Arizona and Texas because I'm a physician, and I know what it's like to work in the middle of the night and be required to get up and deliver babies for illegal aliens. And if you don't do it, you can be arrested. I can be fined. And they get free education, free medical care. They get amnesty. They get food stamps. And it's not going to work. So we provide this tremendous incentive for them to come. And I think you have to secure the borders, but I think you also have to remove the incentives.
Okay, we secure the borders. We remove the incentives. I am for all of that. Now, we here in the state of California, especially Southern California, are so inundated, Congressman. Some of our neighborhoods now are totally have turned into third world barrios. And that's just the way it is because of our proximity to the border. And we have traditionally had this problem here in California, but now it's a lot worse. Are we wrong to want these people deported from our country?
No, because it's illegal. I mean, they've broken the law. If you're just a simple law-abiding citizen, you should want that done. But the longer we wait, the more difficult it is. The problem didn't start this year, last year. You know, it started 20, 25 years ago when they got amnesty in the 80s. You know, they realized that eventually amnesty will come. And I think it's also related to the fact that, you know, certain individuals in our government aren't that interested in international borders. They want the North American Union, and therefore, well, why would you want to send people back? Because eventually we're going to have one country. We're going to have one currency. We're going to have a North American Union.
Do you think the American people will allow that, Congressman?
I hope not. They're waking up right now.
Are they waking up?
Yeah, even in Texas and other places now, they're starting. The people are way ahead of the Congress. You can't believe the state legislatures and those people in the individual states are much further ahead than Congress. I imagine you are aware of the fact that many members of Congress either won't believe the stories or they just are denying it.
That's
and yet they're marching along. I mean, even in this new bill, they're promoting this security and prosperity partnership, which is, you know, another step toward the North American Union. But yes, that is where our hope, and I think that's the only place where we hope for anything, is the American people get what they deserve and get what they want. If they wake up and demand it, the politicians, even if they're not principled or philosophic, they will respond, but it's up to the people to wake up.
Well, you know, Congressman, I agree totally with you, and in my lifetime, and I'm sure in yours, especially your life as a United States Congressman, I'm sure you have never seen the citizen activism that's happened in the last few months. This is unprecedented. Unprecedented.
No, in other areas, too, you know, how many states are now condemning the national ID card, you know, the real ID.
Right.
People are complaining about the Patriot Act. So they're starting to realize that there's a threat to our civil liberties, that we're losing our rights, that the habeas corpus has been suspended. We lost our security in our homes, that they can come in without search warrants. I mean, we're going backwards, and fortunately, the American people are waking up.
Well, you know, when we announced you were going to be on the show, we got quite a bit of mail, and I'm going to be honest with you. Most of that mail was from people who are huge fans of yours. I mean, you have a very huge fan base, not just in your home state, but also across the country. But I was also asked by some people to ask you certain questions, and here's one of them. You voted for 245i on more than one occasion. What was your reason?
245i.
That was the one where the illegal alien pays a $1,000 fine and changes their status to legality.
Oh, I don't think I voted for, you know, last summer. The only bill I voted for was the immigration bill last summer that didn't get into the Senate. No, I don't know. That would be amnesty, what you're talking about.
Oh, so you didn't. I went to Numbers USA. I checked on it when I got some email from people, and it said on there that you voted for an extension on it three times. But
oh, okay. Does this have to do with the people who come in under certain visas?
No, this
working.
This was not a visa thing. This is a loophole that was there that said that people could pay a $1,000 fine and have their status changed. And according to the record, that's what it says. But if you said you didn't, we will take
well,
you.
Well, I'll
and,
double check it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not my position. If it's
it doesn't sound like it.
No, my position. I just stated it. But I would certainly, you know, do some checking on that.
Okay.
Because I've never recall an up or down vote on something like that.
Okay. Troops on the border. How do you feel about that?
I'd prefer to have the civilian guard, the border patrol. But I think the guard units have the authority and the right, and yet they're hauled off into foreign countries, and they're not there to do it. But I'm old-fashioned. I don't think the federal government should be in control of our National Guard unit. As a matter of fact, we're moving in that direction with the suspension of the Insurrection Act, where the government, where the president now can nationalize them without even a governor's permission. So I would prefer the Border Guard to be civilian, but I would let the state governors use their militias.
So you wouldn't have a problem with National Guard on the border?
No, no.
Okay. What about foreign workers? You think we should increase the number of foreign workers that we allow on H-1Bs and H-2s and these other things?
Well, if you do, they're legal, and I think on an individual basis you can look at that. But that's also been corrupted as well. That is, that principle I endorse, that you can make things legal and let people come in under certain conditions. But I understand a lot of people come in under those conditions and then they become illegal and they don't go back. So I think if you have the border protection and you get rid of the incentives, then you can have these special visa programs where people can come in, but that would be illegal immigration. I still think that if you had all things equal, if we had a healthy economy here, there would be needs for some workers, you know, in this country, and I don't have a problem with having some people come here to work. What I have a problem with is subsidizing them and have them get in front of the line and become illegal and become citizens and have it cost us a lot of money.
But I'm sure you wouldn't want these H-1Bs to take jobs that Americans were willing to do, I mean.
No, and that's why I say you have to look at it on an individual basis. But I wouldn't reject the principle in its entirety, because I think that but I also recognize that it's abused and it's a whole mess right now.
Well, that
but if all things were equal and we had a fantastically healthy economy, we have a weak economy now because of our financial system, our monetary system, our overregulated system, and our exporting of our jobs. All our good jobs have gone overseas, and we're hurting, so that's why this problem is so much greater. It's because of the conditions that encourage all our jobs going overseas, you know, the NAFTA-type approach and WTO and the many things. But I think it's a big monetary problem.
Absolutely.
As well.
Congressman, we got about 1 minute. We're coming up on a hard break. I'm not going to keep any longer. We appreciate you coming on with us. And like I said, you got a lot of folks out here who believe in you. You got about 1 minute. Give us what you want the public to know.
Well, the main thing is I emphasize the Constitution, you know.
You are well known for that, too.
And that's the only oath we take. And my job is to read the Constitution, to try to understand it the best I can, and then stick to it. And it is tough. Sometimes when the whole Congress is oblivious to what the Constitution says, you know, on occasion I vote by myself. Some people say way too often, but I do it because out of principle I believe it's the right thing to do.
Well, if you're voting with the Constitution, then nobody can ever fault you for that.
No, and fortunately I think the people, you know, respect that, and that's where I'm getting my support. The people in Washington are annoyed by it because it sort of points out that if I'm doing the right thing, it's sort of saying very, very quietly but loudly without shouting that, you know, you guys aren't following the rules. And, you know, if you want the federal government to take over everything, you ought to amend the Constitution. One time, this country wanted to abolish the drinking of alcohol. That we had more respect for the Constitution back then. They amended the Constitution for that. But think of all the things the federal government does right now without even thinking about the Constitution. They just do it. They write a law or ignore the law. They have a court ruling, or the president writes a executive order, or just anything.
It's terrible.
We're living in a time where there's no rule of law.
Congressman Ron Paul, folks. Congressman, I appreciate you coming on with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. You take care, and the best to you. All right. Yeah. All right, folks, here we go. Augustin Cebeda, our buddy of the Brown Berets, De Aslan.
I was Dean Cebeda, the Brown Berets. We're here today to show L.A., show the minority people here, the Anglo-Saxons, that we are here, the majority. We're here to stay. We do the work in this city. We take care of the spoiled brat children. We clean their offices. We pick the food. We do the manufacturing in the factories of L.A. We are the majority here, and we are not going to be pushed around. We're here in Westwood. This is the fourth time we've been here in the last 2 months to show white Anglo-Saxon Protestant L.A., the few of you who remain, that we are the majority, and we claim this land is ours. It's always been ours, and we're still here. And none of this talk about deporting. If anybody's going to be deported, it's going to be you.
Come back to Simi Valley, you skunks! Go back to Woodland Hills! Go back to Boston! Go back to the Plymouth Rock, you pilgrims! Get out! We are the future! You're old and tired! Go on! We have beaten you! Leave like beaten rats!
You old white people, it is your duty to die!
Even their own ethicists say that they should die. They have a duty to die. They're taking up too much space, too much air. We are the majority in L.A. There's over 7 million Mexicans in L.A. County alone. We are the majority. And you're going to see every day more and more of it as we manifest, as our young people grow up and graduate from high school, go on to college, and start taking over this society. Our people are the vast majority of people are under the age of 15 years old. Right now, we're already controlling those elections, whether it's through violence or nonviolence, through love of having children, we're going to take over.
This is Aslan. This is Mexico. They're the pilgrims.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
More money working from home. Go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-305-5482.
870 KRLA.
This is the Terry Anderson Show. We're talking about the illegal alien invasion. Well, there he was, folks. Ron Paul, whatever you thought of him. And let's give him a little crutch here. He sounded a little tired. I know it must be tough. What he's trying to do, he's trying to run the country. He's also trying to run a campaign. But you know, a lot of times you throw these numbers at him, and I'm not making excuses for him. But let's be fair, you throw these numbers like 245 I at a guy at 11 o'clock on a Sunday night, and he's like, well, what number is that? You know what I mean? And they vote on a lot of things, so I'm not going to really hold him to that. I'm sure he'll get back to me with his explanation or whatever. But anybody who feels they want to comment on it, feel fine. Lines are full, folks. They're always full. I want to say a little thing about money first. First of all of you folks who sent in money for matching the two challenges we have, those challenges have been met. Sharon, I appreciate your challenge, $250. And Captain Ed, my buddy, $500 challenge, they have been met and a little over. So we appreciate that. Whenever you guys want to get your challenges in here to us, we'll appreciate it very much. And we appreciate the offer. The other thing is this. We need your help to stay on the air, folks. We have bills every week to pay. Those bills are very specifically airtime, and the airtime ain't cheap, especially here at KRLA. We have to pay for these other stations we're on, and it's very expensive. Especially here in Los Angeles. And we need your help. If you could send us something. You know, you folks in Vegas, when we got on the air in Vegas, right away you guys started sending us money. And not just Vegas. The KDON people in California who listen, and Oregon and other places. And we appreciate that. We really do. You people in Phoenix, I don't know what it is there. But we're not getting much from you, and there's even been talk of us dropping that station. And I know we have listeners because I get your emails, but, I mean, drop us a little something in the mail, Phoenix. I mean, come on, guys. If you want us to stay on the air there, let us know. And those of you in Phoenix who have contributed, those
few of you, we appreciate it very much. We really do. But you need to talk to your fellow conservative listeners there, or even the liberals who like us, and tell them, look, keep this guy on the air. That's the way it is. If you want to help, you can go to PayPal. You can do it there. Go to our website on the top left. Click on PayPal. So a lot of people help us that way because it's painless. You don't have to get an envelope and a stamp and all the other stuff. But we appreciate that. If you want to help us, you want to send us a check, it's the Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. We'll give that out again at the end of the night, or you can use PayPal. The other thing, folks, you must email and call those senators tomorrow, Tuesday. Keep hammering them because they're talking about voting on this thing. Hammer those people tomorrow. Call the Senate tomorrow. Do not hesitate. Call them up. Let them know. Ring the phones off the hook and say, look, we're not letting this go. And I know you were going to do that without me telling you, but I might as well mention it anyway. I got to have something to say. Do it. It is important right now. This is where the rubber meets the road. Let's go to Willard calling from Peoria, Illinois. Willard, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hey, how you doing, Terry?
Pretty good, buddy.
First time caller.
Good
first time I listen to you online.
Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too, buddy. I'm, as an African-American man, I feel what you're saying with the illegal immigrants. I used to live in Oklahoma City. I used to work at Tyson Chicken Plant in Ida Belle, Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And Ida Belle is probably about, the city of Ida Belle is probably about 75% black and then about 25% white. But like a lot of Latinos, illegals come from Texas and work there, and they pretty much find excuses.
Now, Willard, let me ask you this. What was the wage there, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm sorry, sir?
What was the wage? How much did you make per hour?
I made $7.25.
$7.25 an hour?
Yeah.
And did they make the same amount of money you did?
No, they made much lower. Matter of fact, I'm telling you, most of them didn't speak any English.
Wow.
And now I moved back home to Peoria, Illinois. And Peoria is a majority black city, but they starting to get like a lot of Latinos in that working in the restaurant and the construction field. And I mean, I don't got a problem with folks that's here legally
right.
getting jobs.
That's the correct attitude, Will. That's the correct attitude, Will. That's how you should feel. We're not about race here. We're about people that come here illegally, and they are exploiting us. And I don't know if you heard what I said in the monologue about civil rights.
Right.
Brother, our people fought for those civil rights. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it was hard. It was a hard fight. And now here they come here illegally and say they want their civil rights. What? What's that about?
The only thing civil rights they need to do is when they go back to their own country, institutionalize their own civil rights. There,
I would agree.
Because I was reading this thing in the Wall Street Journal about the wealthiest man in Mexico. He's the world's second richest man.
Billionaires. And you know what? Mexico,
Bill Gates.
Mexico has the second largest number of billionaires in the world. Now, I don't mind. You know, I'm happy they got money there. I'm happy the guy. But, you know, let some of it trickle down to your people. I have been all over that country, Will. And let me tell you something. Those people there are some of the nicest people in the world. And a lot of them are making a decent living. Some of them are not. But whatever your lot in life is in Mexico and Central America, you do not have the right to invade our country.
You're absolutely right.
I want to thank you for the call. Call me again.
Okay, thank you very
All right,
much.
Will. Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to George, calling from Tampa, Florida. George, what do you hear? What do you say?
Well, I call you the blessing from the West.
Yes, sir.
I used to live in Big Bear.
Oh, boy, nice up there. My buddy Bill King, that's where he lives.
I tried to confront Jesse Jackson when he came down to Tampa, Florida. I asked him about a real civil rights issue about... How can you call for amnesty for illegal aliens saying they need their civil rights, but yet you got black people in South Central L.A. that you disarm, you say these shouldn't have guns, but yet these black families are being gunned down by MS-13 gangs.
It's true. It is true. It's absolutely true. There is no documented case of a black person killing a Hispanic in this town specifically because they were Hispanic. Now, there's been drive-bys, there's been gang shootings, robberies. We're not talking about that. We're talking about black people who said, let's go kill a Hispanic. That has not happened in this city. And if it has, it hasn't been documented. But it has been documented the other way, George. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right. Why doesn't Jesse come out and march in the streets to stop that? But what they do on that, they'll come out and say, well, we all have to get along. No, these people have to stop killing my people. That's what he needs to say. Not we need to all get along. Stop killing my people. That's what I would ask for. George, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. Call me again.
George from Tampa, Florida. Let's go to Owen, calling from Cookeville, Tennessee. Owen, what do you hear? What do you say?
I say thank you, Terry Anderson, for leading the fight against amnesty.
It is my pleasure. We have to fight this on. You know what I'm talking about, buddy. If we don't do this, who will?
And I want to thank Tom Tancredo for being there his entire congressional career in fighting against amnesty and illegal immigration. And I'm proud to vote for Tom Tancredo. And Ron Paul is better than some candidates, it's true, but Ron Paul's voting record is not exactly great. He did vote three separate times for
extensions, extensions on the 245i.
He did, yep. And I know this much, Tom Tancredo would know what 245i amnesty was if you were asking him about it, and Tom Tancredo was on the other side of that vote. Seven separate times Mr. Paul voted against use of troops on the border, which was different from Representative Tancredo's vote. He voted to increase H-1B, H-2B workers, voted to allow firms to lay off American workers, voted against extending a voluntary workplace verification pilot program, and also voted against a bill to bar driver's license for illegal aliens. Tom Tancredo voted the different way on every one of those, and Ron Paul was wrong every time. And I just encourage people to go to Numbers USA and read all about Ron Paul's voting history, and you'll see that Tom Tancredo, when you read his history, has been right every single time. And Ron Paul has been on the side of illegal aliens and foreign workers several times.
Well, as you said, Owen, and let's reiterate what you said, he is better than some. And here's my deal with people who tell me, and Ron Paul is a constitutionalist. He's very strong on that. But let's be fair about this. We want a guy who we know how he feels on this issue, which everybody has deemed the most important issue in the country today, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So if this is the most important issue in the country, we want a guy that's out front on this issue. Now, I've heard Tom Tancredo debate other issues, and he's very good on those issues. Foreign policy, you name it, he's very good. But what happens is the media calls him and says, we want you to talk about illegal immigration. Well, guess what? They want him because he's out front on this, and he's known to be steadfast on this issue. But that doesn't mean he's a one-issue guy. Well, same thing with Ron Paul. Since this is the worst issue, we're not asking him to vote, I mean to be just out front on this issue, but a little more than the others. A little more than the other issues. Let us hear a little more from you about this without us having to ask. But I will defend him to this extent. You're right, Tom would know what 245i was if we ask him, but it is late. We're going to give the congressman a little bit of a crutch there, but me, if I'm picking between the two guys, I want a guy that's extremely strong on the issue. I want a guy that's going to put troops on the border. I want a guy that's going to say, let's deport these people. I couldn't quite get him to say that. He said it was okay, we had the right to do it, but I couldn't get him to say he wanted them deported. And I also want a guy that's not going to throw in the towel quite yet and say, well, I think they're going to get amnesty, because, see, I don't believe that. And I couldn't live my life on if I did.
I vote for a Terry Anderson and Tom Tancredo ticket, and take care, Terry.
All right, buddy. I appreciate the compliment. See you later. Owen from Cookeville, Tennessee. Let's go to Ron, calling from L.A. Ron, what do you hear? What do you say?
Yes, if this bill passes through Congress, America will no longer be the America that was born by our founding fathers. And also, what will happen here is this. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Also, what will happen is this. You will need more troops. There will be a second civil war. And my last comment is this here. There, as far as the people coming in and saying that they're being discriminated against, that is BS. No other group of immigrants have gotten bilingual ballots, signs in their own language, like the people from Mexico. There are Spanish signs all over. People from Europe came over. If they didn't learn, their children learned. Here you have fourth and fifth generations that don't know, and it's time to stop dumbing down America and put America number one again.
I would agree, Ron. Well said. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Terry.
Let's go to Daniel, calling from Marina Del Rey, California. Daniel, what do you hear? What do you say?
Terry, I agree with you on your first statement. They need to stay and fight for their civil rights in their country.
Absolutely.
And their country will never change. It will remain a third world country unless they stay down here and fight for it.
That's true. And you know
and
what?
Our country, a third world country also then.
And Dan, you know what I always say? Stay home. Stay home and build a country that you won't run away from.
True.
That's what they need to do. Wherever that is. I don't care if it's Eastern Europe, Mongolia, Iceland. I don't care. Stay home and build a country. Now, I'm not saying we don't want people to immigrate to our country, period. We want some a little immigration to keep the country fresh within reasonable, assimilatable numbers. But we also don't want hordes of people coming here, either legally or illegally, and changing the complexion. And I'm not talking about race. I'm talking about culture of the United States.
And plus, there was a guy I heard on those talk show already. He's from Cambodia. He said, America's getting bad. And he said, where am I going to run to next?
There you go.
And that just hit me. I'm like, wait a minute. Why don't you stay in your country and stand up for your country and make it better up there?
And Dan, let's be real. If things get really bad here, he can go back to Cambodia. Where are me and you going to go?
Nowhere.
We've got nowhere to go. Thanks for the call, buddy.
You got it.
Call me again. Let's go to Greg calling from Reno, Nevada. Greg, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hey, Terry, couple comments and a request. Okay, number one, this is for all the politicians. Maybe everybody could hammer them with this. They think that if they bring in all these people, they'll vote for them. Maybe for a short while, but they're going to start replacing all the Harry Reids with guys like Antonio Villaraigosa. And you're going to see...
They've already done it here in California.
Right, and it's going to spread. It's going to metastasize. This place will be a third-world hellhole. And as far as the virtual fence, somebody was talking about that the other day. How would you have liked a virtual date for the prom? Maybe you'd like a virtual front door or a virtual steak and potatoes for dinner tonight.
How about a virtual beer?
You
know what I mean? How about a virtual beer?
Yeah, virtual beer. Now, my request, Terry, is I remember you told us you were there. You saw our good buddy Augustus Cevada, that revolting little rodent, that perverted little cartoon character.
I did see it.
I was wondering if you could tell us what it was like and what you actually saw.
It was 1996 at the Federal Building in Westwood, California, and they were across the street, and they were over there. There was some people with their group. I'm not saying he did it, but there was a few American flags burned that day. It was right in front of the American Veterans Cemetery, okay? And they burned American flags in front of Veterans Cemetery, and I saw him doing this, talking into a microphone, and I heard what he said, because I was on that side of the street doing my undercover routine, and he made those statements. That was a horrible day. Americans were beat up. They threw frozen soda cans. I got hit with one. Other people got hit in the heads with them. Well, people were bloody. There was violent confrontations. They were on the north side of the street. We were on the south, and all the violence took place on our side of the street, which meant they came over to us to perpetrate the violence. We did not go to them and do any of that. It was some day, though. It really was, Greg.
Well, I was curious. What does this guy look like? Does he look like he sounds?
Yeah, pretty much. pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much.
That says it all. Got to go, Greg. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, let's go to Richie calling from New Orleans, Louisiana. Richie, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hey, Terry, great show.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate your enthusiasm on this particular illegal alien issue. There ain't no issue that tightens my jaw more than this one. But
I can imagine what's going on down there right about now.
We're invaded by Latino workforce, but I will have to tell you, Terry, the city would not be rebuilt without them. Now, I'm not for it at all, but I'm going to tell you the truth, and I want your feedback on this.
Well,
I think we're going to lose this one, man, and a lot of people always say, well, it's not about race, it's race. As a white man, I do think it's about race. As my outlook on it is, I don't want to become a minority in my own country.
Why would you?
Why would I?
Why would anybody want to become a minority? But let me get back to the city not being rebuilt. You know, there's Americans unemployed all across this country that could have been doing that labor, Richie. And let me say this: we know of a busload of black workers that were bused down there and told there was no work once they got there because the illegal aliens had already taken it. So I don't know if the city would be rebuilt or not, but I think Americans would have got down there and done the work had they been offered it. But when the President of the United States eliminated a bill that said that they had to hire Americans. He just squashed it, says, you don't have to do that right now. I can't think of the name of it. Davis-Bacon Act. When he said the Davis-Bacon Act was suspended, that opened the door to bring in illegal workers from all across the world. And that's what did it.
That's true, but there's a workforce here already. I mean, you know, you saw the aftermath of all of the of the displaced housing project people with no skills, no future. What a perfect opportunity to bring the diaspora of mostly black New Orleanians who were on welfare and really did not have any sort of light at the end of the tunnel. This would have been a perfect opportunity to engage some skills with some people, get them to build their own city back, and instill some pride, and employ Americans. But it didn't work. The government, it doesn't seem to benefit the government if it works out that way.
I would agree. Richie, I want to thank you for the call, buddy. You call me again.
You got it.
All right, pal. Take care. All right, let's go to John, calling from Santa Monica, California. John, what do you hear? What do you say?
Terry, great show.
Thank you, sir.
A couple things about Ron Paul, and I think this is interesting. And if you go to Numbers USA and look at Ron Paul's thing, he's getting an A all over the place, and his overall grade is an A-. He has an excellent reputation on immigration. But here's the bigger picture. If we have to get somebody who's electable, and here's where Tom, I have not sent money to Ron Paul, but I have sent money to Tom Tancredo. We need him in there arguing. But he said he doesn't believe in evolution. He said that right on one of the debates. That's a really bad, bad thing he said. And another thing he said was...
I don't believe in it either, but go ahead.
Well, hold on. Well, but I mean...
But I'm not running for office either, so...
That ain't going to fly. We've got to elect somebody. We've got to go to the general election, Terry.
Right.
Another thing that he said is we will be in Iraq for many years to come, okay? That is handcuffing him to George Bush. I'll tell you what. Ron Paul is the one candidate of every party that can say, I voted against the war in Iraq.
He did.
I voted against the Patriot Act. And you know what? America will rally behind him because I'll tell you what. Any Republican that is on the team with George Bush, who's flying at 26%, heading down below into the teens, we cannot elect them. Ron Paul is electable. And I'll tell you another problem that Tom Tancredo has. He chokes up every time he gets up to bat. The man cannot get it out. And Ron Paul has got the best record. He returns part of his salary every year. He's never been on a junket. He's never voted for a gun control law. I mean, Ron Paul's record, and he's been in there. He is Dr. No in Congress, okay? That man is a stalwart. He would put Tom Tancredo in his cabinet. So he is fantastic on immigration, but he's much more well-rounded, and he is the one Republican who can say, I've got nothing to do with George Bush, I have nothing to do with the Middle East, and Michael Shurer, the man on Bin Laden in the CIA, who was watching him for years, and the CIA booted him because he wanted to take care of Bin Laden. Michael Shurer, go to YouTube, go to Ron Paul 2008 and watch his YouTubes, and he's got a little reading list for Giuliani. What I'm telling you is there's only one Republican that's electable in the general election. That's
right.
Ron Paul.
All right, John, you got your commercial out for Ron Paul.
I'm going to send you a whole bunch of money.
All right, buddy. Appreciate your point of view. Well stated. Take care.
You got it.
Let's go to Aaron, calling from Torrance, California. Aaron, what do you hear? What do you say?
Yo, bro.
What's up?
Well, I've heard some disturbing news over the talk circuits, our favorite talk radio shows, the last couple of days that it's been the most horrible, saddest day in America. I guess Ted Hayes got arrested for something.
Yeah, he was at the rally. I was there too. I was on the other side of the street with the dissenters. It was more fun. And I talked to a lot of black folks on that side of the street, Aaron, and I asked them, why are you here? And they said, well, we heard the Klan was going to be here and we were coming out to get them. But a lot of them, once they've realized the Klan wasn't there and that was a lie perpetrated by the Reconquistas, a lot of them were very angry about it. And you can notice that by the numbers of black people who were standing up on the sidewalk and weren't in the street with the main group. But the point of what happened yesterday, it was a little disappointing because the police took the side of these people. And I kind of halfway understand that, too. They didn't want anybody to get hurt. But it was just a bad deal all around. Ted had a really nice rally plan, and it just didn't come off. But as far as black folks joining them, no, that wasn't true. There were a lot of black folks with Ted Hayes' group. There were a lot of blacks on the other side, and most of them were very angry when they found out it was a lie that the KKK was not there. I got to go, Aaron. I'm trying to wind up here and get everybody in. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Okay.
All right. Real quick, let's go to Crazy Steve. Call him Austin. Steve, you got about 30 seconds.
All right. Greetings from the People's Republic of Austin, Moscow, and the Colorado. There's going to be a rally on June 30th in San Antonio. Go to AmericanFreedomWriters.com to find out. And this is, we're going to the office of that rotten Johnny Satan who put those Border Patrol agents away. And we're going to be down there with a bunch of motorcycles, and we're going to give a thunderous, you know, we hate you, Johnny Sutton, get out of office. So anybody that can make it down there, you know, anyone from around the state or come on out there to Let's Dump Johnny Sutton. That will be on Saturday at high noon in San Antonio, AmericanFreedomWriters.com, and that's where you can find out all about that.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call, Steve. Take care.
Oh, hey, by the way, Ron Paul Will, if you're listening, June 29th, he's going to be in San Antonio. If you want to come to this rally, you're welcome to it.
All right, Steve. Take care, buddy. Let's go to Carl, calling from Los Angeles. Carl, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Yeah, Terry, I was there at the rally there at Leimert Park.
Yes,
and,
sir.
It's clear that Los Angeles is a sanctuary city.
Absolutely.
The power structure is on the side of the illegals, Special Order 40. They wouldn't allow us to complete our rally there in the park. And it was just a bad situation. And
it
they
was.
Arrested Ted and four others. And we just can see the handwriting of all those who remain here in the city of Los Angeles
and Carl, the
SC campus.
Carl, the lie that they perpetrated about the KKK was going to be there. I met people out there that I knew. Youngsters that I knew going out there with gloves on, ready to knock heads with the Klan. And when they found out the Klan wasn't there, they said, you know what, this was a big lie.
Well, our organization had the radio spots on the community radio station for 2 weeks running.
Yeah.
Front page on KJLH. And we informed the community that, hey, this is about standing up for illegal citizens.
George Putnam always says there's always somebody who fails to get the word. Carl, thanks for the call,
all
buddy.
Right.
Folks, I want to announce that Nacho Ramos is not doing too good. He's down there in Yazoo City in the penitentiary. They say he's been in a solitary cell down there. He's just really not doing good. He's lost quite a bit of weight, and we really hate to hear that. But we're going to write him. We're going to keep his spirits up. We're going to get him off of this thing because people have got to understand this guy is a hero. He's a border patrolman that was railroaded him with Compiègne. It's just really sad, but I just wanted to announce that tonight. Let's go to Lou calling from South Central L.A. Lou, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
I'll be quick about it. I was appalled. I read in the Times today that Alan Autry, the mayor of Fresno, said he'd stand in the way of any people from the government that would try to deport any aliens from his city. I was really shocked to hear that. I don't understand.
And you know what?
People.
He's gone both ways. This guy stood up for an ordinance there. He's gone both ways, Lou. He doesn't know which way he wants to go on this. But, you know, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
He's an idiot.
I was wondering one more thing. Could you play, if you get a chance, the tape of Mayor Varica Rosa several years ago where he said, gave a speech where he wants to give California to Mexico. I heard that on your station years ago.
Yeah, I'll try to find it. We'll play it maybe next week.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Lou. Officer Lou, thanks, buddy.
Okay, bye.
All right. We're out of time, folks. I don't want to take any more. Loretta, Max, David, Noella, everybody, I will try to get to you next time. I want to remind everybody out there that we do need your help to stay on the air, folks. It's very important to us to send us something. We need it. The Terry Anderson Show, 3940. Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. Don't forget our good buddy Rusty Childress, immigrationbuzz.com. And don't forget all the other folks that had something to do with the show. Don't forget to read This Week with the Swings. Real good stuff. Coming Attractions, Subliminally, and We the People of Talk Radio. Good stuff. You can read it on our website. I want to thank Chandler, my engineer, Mel for taking your calls, my producer Mike Wolner, Rusty Childress, don't forget him, Mark Edwards, folks, in Phoenix. He'll be on right after me on KFNX. Kevin James every weeknight at 9 o'clock right here on KRLA. Buy something made in America, folks. It's important. If we don't support our American workers, who will? You need a wash machine, you need a car, go out and buy American. That's how you need to do it. I want to remind everybody once again, folks, without you, we can't keep the show going. You have participated, you have called, you have emailed, you have done everything, and now we need your money. If you can send us some money, we'd appreciate it. The Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. Don't forget those three websites we talk about every week. TheTerryAndersonShow.com, of course. And don't forget our good buddy Juan Man at DeportAliens.com. And for the up-to-date information on the illegal alien invasion, because that's what it is, go to Glenn Spencer's webpage, AmericanPatrol.com. This is Terry Anderson for the All-American American Radio Network saying we will be back again next week, as usual, attempting to articulate the popular rage. Good night, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth. I found